Lord, as we look closer at your word today, help us to understand that without you, we can really do nothing. Help us to understand, Lord, that you have made the way very simple for us, but it's not always easy. So, Lord, this morning, may my words be the words from you. May we meditate on those things that are near and dear to your heart. And may we, in one spirit, look to you as our Lord and our Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning, we are continuing through our series in the Gospel of John. But some of you may be wondering why we skipped some chapters since last week. Well, the reason for that is that we only have a few Sundays left together, and we also have Advent coming up. So I'd like to hit on some of the passages that have jumped out at me and have been meaningful to me. And one of those is John 15. I've always loved this passage for many reasons. But one of those reasons isn't because it's about growing things. Because when it comes to growing plants, I don't have a tremendous gift. But in this passage, Jesus shows us how to be productive, how to bear fruit. Not those apples and oranges that I was showing, because that would be a little strange, but how to bear good things in our life, things that really satisfy us, knowing that we are living out our created purpose. I think that all of us, at least deep down inside, want to be productive in our lives. We all have a desire to grow. We all have a desire to be successful, to make something of our lives. Now, what that looks like will differ between all of us because God has given each of us a special and unique set of special gifts. But whatever they are, I think that we all have the desire to leave a legacy when we leave this world, to leave it a better place because of our contribution, to live our lives that are full of and satisfying by being faithful to God's call on our lives. And yes, we all have a call. The Bible tells us that each one of us has a calling on our lives and that He has given us the gifts to accomplish that calling. One calling, many gifts. Each one of us has that. And there's a part of us that doesn't want to fail in these areas. We want to be successful, not just in the world's eyes, but more importantly, in God's eyes. If we just want to be successful in the worldly sense, then we will never know God's best for us. There's a part of us that wants to honor God and live the abundant life that He has promised us. But how do we do that? Is there a secret to being successful and reaching our God-given potential? Is there a method to living the abundant life that Jesus wants us to have? Well, there is a way. And it is so, so simple, but not necessarily easy. Jesus knows us. He created us. And He wants us to be successful. And so He shows us how to be successful in everything that He has called us to do. And He does so in such simple terms. He makes it so simple for us. But following that way isn't always easy, because we have to do things His way, not ours. Not only did Jesus make the solution to true success simple for us, He even illustrated it for us in this passage. Imagine that, an instruction manual with pictures, even better than IKEA. In our passage, Jesus used the illustration of growing, of gardening. How many of you here like to garden? How many of you here pretty much kill anything you try to plant? You know, real plants are beautiful, but have you ever wondered why there are fake plants, plastic plants? You know, they're for people like me. And you know what? Some of them look pretty good. I've gone into some stores and said to myself, that's a really nice looking plant. It even has some fruit growing on it. But then when I get closer, I realize that it's fake. Now to me, they're good because they don't die. But there really isn't any satisfaction in having a fake plant. It doesn't grow. It doesn't bear real fruit. Why? Well, because it's dead. It isn't connected, or it has no ability to connect to a source of life that can feed it. That's how it's been in my life at times, and maybe some of you can relate. You know, I've gone through the motions, the religious stuff, or even the worldly stuff, working hard trying to be successful, but then realizing that the fruit that is growing is really fake. It looks really good to the outside world. It even looks good to me at times, but it isn't even real. It's worldly. It's as fake as plastic fruit, which isn't good to anybody. Sometimes that tree that I've tried to build has been built around things. You know, things make good fruit in the world's eyes. Cars, money, fancy things, fancy houses. And we can think that if we have all these things that we'll be happy, we'll be satisfied, we'll be successful. But are we? Or are we just producing fake fruit? Stuff that doesn't truly satisfy. Fruit that doesn't truly nourish our souls and just makes us hungry for more and more stuff. Sometimes that fake fruit in our lives can be built around things, but sometimes it is our desire for worldly success. And we feel that if we can get just a little bit more than someone else, that we are building that beautiful fruit tree. For others, it could be their looks, their family's image, or how they are portrayed on fake social media. Whatever it is, we all have a desire, a God-given desire, built-in desire, to be successful in life. We all want to look good. We seem to want others to see the fruit in our lives, even if it is fake. But deep down, our souls ache for real fruit, for things in our lives that will be of lasting value, of eternal significance. But many, many times we don't really have those things in our lives because sometimes we're attached to the wrong source. If you want your fruit to be material possessions and money, what happens when the financial markets collapse and dry up, or if you lose your job? That dead fruit in our lives will be no use of us, use to us whatsoever. We think that maybe if we look more religious, have more money, just put together the perfect family, get that promotion, attain that status, then we will have something of value. But we, just like that plastic fruit, they're attached to the wrong source. But there is a way. In fact, there is only one way. To grow something in our lives of lasting impact, of eternal significance. And that's what we're going to be looking at in our passage today. Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he's telling them how they can produce fruit and what that fruit will do. So let's see what Jesus says. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful." There's a few terms in that passage that I think we need to define. And the first is the word abide. You know, Jesus uses that word a lot in this whole passage. It's one that we don't hear a lot in the world around us, but we hear about it in the Bible. To abide in a biblical sense just means to give attention to God daily. Abiding is simple. It's easy to understand, but it isn't always easy for us to do. It is looking for God in our daily activities. It's recognizing the thing that he has done and is doing for us. It's making time to spend with him. It's reading the Bible to getting a deeper understanding of him. It's giving him attention daily. That's simple, but it's not always easy. Abiding is very simple to understand and sometimes very difficult to live out. But it is only through abiding that we grow. Some people have told me, "Well, I'm just too busy. I start work early and I get to bed late." But the reality is it all depends on our priorities. I know a man who has become a friend of mine. He doesn't attend this church, but some of you will know who I'm talking about. He was very successful in his business life, but it required very, very long days. Did that stop him from spending time with Jesus? No. He would get up every day at 4 a.m., go to his den and spend time in the Word and in prayer. And he will attribute his success to those times spent with God. He would leave those early morning abiding times ready and energized to take on the day. It's really about who or what we put first in our lives. Those of you who are gardeners will understand some of the other terms in this passage. And not only will you understand these terms, you will carry them out as you work in your garden. I mean, how many of you cut off dead stuff? How many of you prune the fruitful stuff? Any good gardener will cut off the dead branches that are not producing any fruit, because they will actually damage the rest of the plant. Those branches are just dead weight. They will suck resources from the rest of the plant, but they are contributing nothing. Therefore, they have to go. The second thing any good gardener will do is to prune. When a branch has a healthy connection to the vine, to the tree, it will grow. But as it grows, those nutrients can be spread thin. So for it to have maximum effectiveness, it needs to be pruned so that it can become even more fruitful. Now that, to me, sounds painful. And it is. But the Lord will prune us in order to grow us. And the only way that we can grow is to have those parts of us, those attitudes, those actions that are holding us back, to be cut off from the rest of us. The goal of both of these actions, cutting off the dead and pruning the fruitful parts, are the same. It's to produce more fruit in our lives. And that's really the whole point. In this passage, Jesus isn't talking about how to be a good gardener. He's talking about how he tends to us, his branches. And he reveals in this passage his purpose for our lives. And it's really, really simple. It's to produce fruit, real fruit. That's what God wants for us. God wants to grow things of value in our lives. Things that are eternal. Things that are internal. Things that bring satisfaction and things that bring him glory. He wants to cultivate in us peace, patience, kindness. He wants to cultivate thriving marriages, loving relationships. He wants to grow in our hearts a desire for our neighbors and for our friends and for those people in other countries that truly need our help. He wants to grow our abilities and stretch us in what we think we can do. He wants to produce things in our life that when others see those things, they won't be seeing us. They'll be seeing Jesus. And I think all of us really want that, don't we? We all want something good, something meaningful, something valuable to come out of our life. And what Jesus is saying to us is that if we want that, then we might have to go through difficult times. You know, the terms that Jesus uses here aren't pleasant. They invoke images of pain, discomfort, things that we just don't want to happen. But if we don't do these things to a plant, it will never grow, never get bigger, and eventually it will stop producing fruit. And the same is true for us. You see, it is the difficulties of life. It's when we step out of our comfort zone, when we get out of our boat. It's when something or someone is taken from us that we grow. The truth is, we don't grow in the comfortable and easy times. God and God alone is the gardener of our life. And that means that he will use those difficulties to grow us so that we can grow more and more and more and become more and more like Jesus. So there are times when we need to be thankful for those troubles in our marriage because God can and will use those times. We can thank God for that health issue because God can and will use it. We can thank God for that irritating coworker because God can and will use them to make us look to Him and to be more like Him. For some crazy reason, some people think that God's job is to only comfort us, to baby us. But let's get real. Let's understand that God wants to cut away the old, the bad, the sin, so that new peace, new joy, new patience, new love, and new fruit will grow in our lives. Without pruning, we will never experience the life that Jesus wants for us. In verses 7 to 9, Jesus continues with a promise of what will happen if we do abide in Him. He says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." Here's what Jesus is getting at. If we stay attached to Him, we will produce fruit. Remember those fake plants, those fake fruits? They don't produce anything because they're not attached to anything. And this is important. Who is it that's actually growing that fruit? Who's the one that's actually caring for those branches? It's not us. It's God. He's the gardener. He's the vine. And we are the branch. In other words, if you want fruit in your life, if you want to grow your faith, deepen your relationship with God, then we have to connect to the source. We have to connect to the vine. We are just a branch, and apart from the vine, we cannot grow. In fact, Jesus said we can do nothing. It is God and God alone that makes growth possible. But we have the ability, we have the responsibility to abide. Simple, right? Not always easy. Because we have to build our lives around abiding in Christ. If we want real fruit in our lives, not the fake stuff, if we want our lives to have eternal significance, there is only one way to get it, and it's only through Jesus. Anything else is fake. It won't amount to anything. And it will leave us empty and hungry and unsatisfied, wondering what the purpose of this life really is. We can try to connect to other things, and in the short term, that's easier to do. We can tap into money, power, our looks, our family status, our relationship status, our careers. But we will really end up with things of no value, things that have no eternal significance, things that don't truly give us satisfaction because Jesus didn't grow those things in our lives. If you want to be known as a patient person, if you want peace in your life, if you want your marriage to thrive, if you want your coworkers to be impacted by your life, if you want to change your community, if you want to be remembered as a person that deeply cared about others, then you have to connect to the source. That's the only way that we can produce fruit. It's all about simply abiding in Jesus, putting Him first. It is by giving attention to God every day, it is then that we will bear fruit, real, eternal, and satisfying fruit. It's inevitable because it's a promise from God Himself. You gardeners here will also know another important concept when it comes to growing things, and that is the growth takes time. And while you're waiting, you have to do the right things over and over again for that growth to happen. For me, I would just love to plant a seed and expect to eat an apple the next day. But you have to fertilize that seed. When it starts to grow, you have to pull out some weeds. You have to water it and prune it. Every day, you have to take care of it. And then a few months or a few years later, you will have that fruit. That's true in our lives as well. Growth takes time. You aren't going to read your Bible once or once in a while, and instantly all your doubts will disappear. You won't pray once or once in a while and instantly have your marriage restored or your relationships restored. You won't develop a heart of love just overnight. You won't have peace instantly. Those are fruits that God wants to develop in you, but they all take time. And what Jesus is promising us in this passage is that if we abide in Him, we will produce fruit. And not just some fruit, but much fruit. That's what Jesus is getting at. That is the promise of this passage, that if we abide, He will do the work. We will produce something of value. We will be full of that peace, that love, and that joy. We will develop into the people that God wants us to be. We will overcome that sin. We will overcome that fear. We will grow and learn to trust Jesus so that we get to the point where we don't have to control everything. We will grow and have something valuable in our lives. And all it takes is for us, you and me, to spend quality and quantity time with Jesus. That's a great deal, if you ask me. But Jesus said that there is even more. Verses 10 to 11 says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." I think some of us hearing these words are thinking, you know, I don't really know if I want that. I don't know if I want to go through all this pruning. I don't know if I want to be that disciplined and abide every day. Sounds like I'd have to redo a lot of my life to give attention to God daily. If that's the attitude that we have when we hear those words, then the issue isn't really about time or changing our priorities. It's really one of trust. What we're really saying is that we don't trust God enough that His way is best for us. We may just think that our way is best. I've been there many times. We may think that the fruit that we're trying to grow is best. So I'll just do it my way instead of God's. If you say that, if I say that, if that is the attitude of our hearts, then we're told that we can say goodbye to joy. Because what Jesus is telling us here in these two verses is that if you want true joy, not joy that's dependent on something or someone else, if you want a joy that will not fade, if you want joy in the good times and in the bad, then you will only find that in Jesus as you abide in Him. So where does that leave us here this morning? Well, just like Jesus' message, the application is simple, but hard to live out. It's an invitation to stop hanging on to that fake fruit and start cultivating something real, something genuine. So this morning, maybe for the first time or maybe for the first time in a while, let us rededicate our lives to abiding in Jesus. He is our only source of life and true power. And it's only as we place Him first in our lives that we will grow fruit, real fruit. Only then will we be satisfied. Only then will we be the people that God has created us to be. People who understand what true joy is, what true satisfaction is, and people who truly live out the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. Not just once in a while when things are going good, but every single day of our lives.